Good morning, everyone. The opening scripture is Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is, as always, an absolute joy to be here this morning. We always look forward to fellowshipping and being with you, and it's truly a blessing. It's an easy journey. We look forward to it. I know the ride home is twice as long because we're leaving, and the drive down, it's like that with everything, and we're very thankful for everything you do for us, and we really, really appreciate it. The title of the message I have today is I Don't Have Time. And before I get started, I got a question I want to ask each and everybody here today, myself included. What would you do if starting next Sunday night at the stroke of midnight, every single person in this room was given $10,080? Put it right on the table. And then next Sunday, and for every Sunday for the rest of your life at midnight, you would receive $10,080. Now, there is a catch. You have to spend every dollar from Sunday to Sunday. If you don't, you can't get the money the next week. Now that I have your attention, every week our Heavenly Father gives us 10,080 minutes to live our life. My question for you is, how many of those minutes do you give Him? How many minutes do you give our Father when He gives us 10? And I've done the math. I know, Don, I did it 3 or 4 times to make sure. But there are 10,080 minutes in a week. And as we read in our opening scripture, even there's a time to sleep. There's a time to go to work. There's things that we have to do in a regular basis. And He understands that. But still, how many of those 10,080 minutes do we give Him? And something else to think about, 106 days ago was January 1st. And I want to ask you, how many times in the last 106 days have you opened your Bible and spent time in God's Word? Now, the inspiration for this message, before I go any further, is I heard a lady on Bot Radio call in and gave a great testimony. Then it convicted me. She had said that she'd gotten a little complacent. She was going through the motions. She went to church on a regular basis, and she prayed and she did all these things, but she just felt empty. So she made a promise to herself on New Year's Day that every Monday through Saturday, now she goes to church on Sunday, but she was going to set aside every Monday through Saturday, every day she woke up, she planned her day. And she said, at every single day, I am going to set aside everything. I'm turning off the TV, I'm turning off my laptop, I'm turning off Facebook, I'm doing everything. And I'm going to spend 15 minutes reading the Bible. And from January 1st to December 31st, now there's 365 days in a year. She went to church. There's 52 weeks. So we're talking about, 310, 305 days. And she said in a whole year, only 8 times did she not do this. And she said it was the greatest year of her life. She said, I read the book of Proverbs 3 or 4 times. But she literally, physically made it an effort. And most people that, New Year's Day, you all got your resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. Most of them don't last till February 1st. But this lady inspired me greatly because she touched me, because she was talking to me. Me and my wife, Susan, we've been covenant believers now for 31 years. It was about this time, 31 years ago, when we first met and were dating. We were in the denominational church world. She was a Baptist. I went to a church called Calvary Temple, mega church. It was big. But then after we were married, we became covenant believers a short time afterward. And it's been nothing but a truly tremendous blessing. It's been something, and we're still together. And the message I want to share with you today, and I got some readings and everything, is I want this to be a message of inspiration. And I please do not receive this as any way of being condescending or judgmental or anything like that. I want this to be inspirational because there's nobody in this room that needs to hear this more than me. Because believe it or not, I get caught up with injuries, with work, and my day in and day out. And this lady really got to me because I remember, I heard this driving to work one night, and I thought about this all night long. And this was a couple of weeks ago, and this is the inspiration for my message. So to get started, if you will, please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4. And I'd want to read verse 4. Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered him and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now that's simplistic. How long could you go without water? How long could you go without food? Now you could go without food a lot longer, but you probably wouldn't last 3 or 4 days without water. And also, how long can your spirit go without food? If you don't feed your spirit, it will die. It will wither on the vine. It will go away. We eat every day. We drink every day. We need to find time for God every single day of our lives. We need to give him some minutes of all the minutes he gives us. And Jesus says, I, that man shall not live by bread alone. You have to feed your spirit God's word. Yes, going to church is fantastic. Going to church is great. Stay with me, if you will now, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 6, just to elaborate just a little bit more on this. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 48. Verse 48, Jesus is speaking, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. So the food we eat and drink will sustain us until this body dies. He's talking about a different bread. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We all know that verse in John, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was Jesus Christ. He's talking about himself. You remember the story when the lady went to the well to get water, and Jesus, and he talked to her. He said, you get water, and you're going to drink it. You're going to be thirsty again, but if you drink of me, you will never thirst. I am the living waters. I am bread. I am water. If you partake of me, you will live forever. And then he said, you will never thirst again. You drink this water out of this well, yeah, your body's going to get thirsty again, especially in the summertime. But if you drink this living water, you'll never thirst again. We have to have that same attitude. We have to feed our spirit. We have to understand that there's more to life. Yes, there's a time for everything. There's a time to enjoy life. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Enjoy the things that God has given us. But give him a little bit of time. Just find some time for him. Because what's happening, if you turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 2, here's our enemy. Book of 1 John, if I can find it. Chapter 2, very familiar reading. It said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's the problem here? For all of that is in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Very simple. This world's after us. This world wants our time. TV, movies, entertainment, sports, Wi-Fi, laptops, Facebook, on and on and on and on and on. This world is surrounding us with distractions. And I'm not down on anybody who partakes of them. I would be the biggest hypocrite in this room if I ever tried to come across that way, because I'm guilty of some of that stuff too. I mean, look, we've all got to know each other. We've known Don and Randa for 30-some years. We've been coming down here two or three times a year for 11 years. And I'm not going to name names, but I know for a fact that there are some people in this room who don't even play golf. They probably don't even watch it on TV. But I still love you. Kind of. The point I'm trying, we know each other. We know that we're all a little rough around the edges. This world gets a hold of each and every one of us in a different way. The problem is, don't let it take you away from God. Don't substitute your time. Make time for him. Not just now. If you will, turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And I think most of us already know that this is the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to start in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, this is the only commandment where the first word is remember. Remember, which means don't forget. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Holy means separate. There's something special about the 7 day. God, verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within them. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that was it that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, was he tired? No. Did he need to rest? No. Heavens, no. That's our Heavenly Father. But that was an example he's trying to tell us to listen. There's something special about the seventh day, the Sabbath day, which Sabbath means rest. You got 6 days to enjoy yourself. But the seventh day, that's mine. That belongs to me. Now, I'm old enough to remember, and most of us, if you had to go to the grocery store, you better go Saturday night because you couldn't go on Sunday. Nothing was open on Sunday. No business, no hospitals, gas stations, maybe pharmaceuticals, but regular stores, they all closed at midnight. I remember at Saturday night at midnight, they played the national anthem on TV, and then they had the TV test pattern. You couldn't watch TV 24/7s like you could then. People went to bed, people rested. And people knew there was something special about the Sabbath day because nothing was open. You couldn't, no stores, you couldn't buy, you couldn't work, you couldn't do a lot of things. My dad would have me cut the grass on Saturday because he didn't want me doing it on Sunday. Now, this is when I was a little kid. It was special. And then one store, well, let's open. And then and look where we are now. You can go to any store. except now Chick-fil-A. I like that guy. I don't know what he believes, but I like that. He just says we want people to spend time with their families. I like that place. Don't know what their beliefs are, but I like that. What would happen if everybody did that again, if we went back to that? What if all the stupid, idiotic, dumb, stupid, that's why it's called programs, because it programs us. What if the TV box went off the air at midnight again? What if all your cell phones and iPads and laptops, what if all them things went blank at midnight every night? We'd be better off. We'd be better off because we saturate our brains with this world, the lust of the flesh, the things that we love. They're available 24/7, 7 days a week, 365. And it's taken me a little bit away from God's word. And I feel bad about that. Now stay in verse, stay next to this 20, and I'm going to show you an analogy. I'm going to read verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is for children, I believe. Okay, now I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to say something. Man, I want you to get this. Me and my wife, Susan, we have two children, Laura and David. Right now, they are not honoring us, except just a little bit, because they're home and they're living in our house. Right now, their motivation is obedience, respect, and a little bit of fear, especially their mom. But I tell them, guys, look, she scares me too. Don't feel so bad, you know. But listen, they will honor us when they move out. And the way they will live their lives from the time they go out on their own, that's how you will honor. If you want to honor me and your mom, remain faithful to the word. I've told them this many times. I don't care. You may end up in a $1 million home, drive a new Cadillac every 3 years, and have everything this world has to offer. Or you may live in a trailer park and be in charge of the shoe department at Walmart. I don't care. But I do care about this. You want to honor me and your mom? You do it. You will have the opportunity to do that when you move out and you get away from us. Now, I try to honor my father the way I've lived my life. Okay, in same like manner, you are not honoring God today. A little bit, but obedience. Hebrews 11, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's respect. And we are a God-fearing people. In the same like manner that Laura and David will honor me and Susan when they move out, you will honor our God Monday through Saturday based on what you live and learn today. Yes, we're commanded to assemble. We're commanded to respect our God. We're commanded to be obedient to Him and His Word. And we are a God-fearing people, just the way they fear us now. But you will honor God Monday through Saturday. Laura and David, you will honor us when you go out on your own. Because I heard Alan Engel gave a message many years ago, and it literally broke my heart. They did a 10-year study of Christian children who went to Christian churches and Christian schools all through high school. And then they graduated June 1st. And they did this for a 10-year study. And in over a 10-year study, from June 1st of the day they graduated till June 1st of the next year, 85% of them leave the faith, leave the church. They go off to college. They get a job. They want a party. They want to be with their friends. They quit going to church. They don't go to Bible study. They don't read their Bible. 85%. Now, this is not worldly kids. These are church-going people. And as I've said, I've been a covenant believer now for 31 years. This is true. I've seen kids brought up in covenant teaching churches. And I think it's more than 85 out of 100 leave. And what's even sadder, I've seen the kids leave, and then I see the parents follow the kids. And they go back to these mongrelized, Baal-worshipping churches. Pastor Don, we've had conversations. Well, our kid, we want them to be popular. There's not that we're small. We want them to get to know other kids. Blasphemy, disgraceful, despicable, unbelievable. But I've seen it with my own eyes. So just because you go play church every Sunday, just because, see, God knows who's here. He knows who's here and who's not here today. We see outward. He looks inward. He knows how many minutes you gave him last week out of the 10,080 he gave you. He knows that, myself included. He knows 106 days ago on what we call New Year's, January 1st, he knows how many people have studied his word and spent time with him. But you have to honor him, and you do it Monday through Saturday. And I want my children, you want to honor me and your mom? Remain faithful and be good people when you're out of our presence, when you leave our home, when you're not under our cover. Now, my daughter always will be under my cover, because we all know what that means. But I would rather, if you, in my opinion, see, we're all three people. There's the for myself. There's the person I think I am. There's the person you guys think I am. And there's the person God knows who I am. I can fool you. I can play games. I can fool myself. I can fool a lot of, but I can't fool him. And that's the reality of it. You can't fool him. He knows. He knows. He knows our heart. To show you just very briefly, go to the book of Judges, chapter 13. I'm going to look at the story of Samson. And I'm not going to beat up on him. I just want to show something that happened to him that scares me a little bit. I'm not going to read the whole story, but in Judges, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of Timnath, the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me a wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Or goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Question? What? And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, who talks to their parents like that? And I'm sorry, but what in the hell are you doing with the Philistines? What are you doing hanging out with the enemies of our God? What the heck are you doing, Samson? Listen, your best friend better be a covenant believer. We can't control who we work with. We can't control the kids we go to school. We can't control people at the grocery store. But this guy was hanging out with the enemies of our God. And look at who talks to their parents that way. Go get her for me, because he wanted to feed his flesh. And we all know the story of Samson and Delilah. We all know she didn't love him. She was evil. And what happened? What did he do with her? He fulfilled the lust of his flesh. And typically what do men do when they're done? They go to sleep. And then she fooled him. She nagged him and he confessed to her something that was the most precious thing he had. And he fell. Now, again, I don't want to beat him up too much because he recovered, but he paid. Choose the sin, choose the suffering. All through the Bible, some of the greatest men we've ever read, they all fell. They stubbed their toe and fell. King David, good grief, up, down, up, down. But he paid for his sin. Now, forgiveness, yes, but you will reap what you sow. And Samson, how dare you? How dare you talk to your parents that way? Who got him to do that? The Philistines. They got him. You do not talk to your parents that way. Go get this ungodly woman. And they said, no, don't. Well, I don't know how old he was. I'm not that smart. I don't know how old he was. But they didn't want to do it. And what did he do? Fulfilled his flesh. I'm sure she was very pretty. She didn't care about him. They confided in her to bring him down. And she used her looks and her body and her tongue. And there are worldly women out there that will do that to our sons. They're out there. because unfortunately in today's world, women have lowered themselves to act like a man. They cut all their hair off, they cuss, tattoos all over the place, piercings everywhere, cuss like a drunken sailor, cuss like the world, ask guys, party, do all these things. It's hard to find a lady, a virtuous woman that the Bible talks about. It's very hard to find one now. I was lucky, I found mine. I think most of you guys that are sitting, you guys found yours. Tell you what, hang on to her. Don't ever let her go. Hang on to her because it's rare. They are very, very rare. But look at what he did. It all started because he was hanging out with the Philistines. And he wasn't with the brethren. He wasn't with, I don't know if he went to church or not anymore. How did he get this way? It was a process. Now let's go backwards. Go to chapter 10. Let's see what, in Judges chapter, let's see what happened. Let's see the, what happened then. It can happen now. Judges chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria, the gods of the Zidonians, the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served him not. Is that happening today? Do our people know who they are? Do they know who our God is? Do they know that we are not like everybody else? I heard one of Pastor Mark's sermons taped recently. I don't know all the details, and I'm not trying, it's none of my business, but somebody tried to come in here, and they said, no, you need to walk, you need to leave. Praise God for our shepherds. Praise God for our shepherds. Just brief mention it, but that enthrilled me. I don't know, none of my business, but that door, this pulpit is precious to Pastor Don and Pastor Mark. It's very, this is not, you can't, they just don't let anybody come up here. And that's something that I take very, very seriously. I really do. I try. We don't have to agree on everything. I understand that. But some things, yes. Some things, yes. Stay in chapter 10, chapter 10 and go to verse 10. Verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians, from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the people you guys are hanging out, your best friends? Do you guys understand what I did to these people? Do you understand who they are to me? You know who these people are to me? The Zidonians also, and the Amalekites, the Midianites, did oppress you, and ye cried unto me, and I delivered them out of your hand. Yet ye have forsaken me, and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen, which you have chosen, which you chose. Let them deliver you in your time of your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. It breaks God's heart when we lose brethren who leave the truth and go and serve Baal in these ungodly, mongrelized congregations, and they think they're serving God. And if you look up the word Baal in the Strong's, I know it's a Phoenician god and all, but if you go down a little bit, it says, any god that's not the God of Israel is Baal. And I've said this, and there's only two gods in the world. There's the one true God and all the other false ones. I don't care how good it makes you feel to go sit and serve Baal. I don't give anything about that whatsoever. And especially the people who know better. These people knew. They saw what he did. They heard the stories. They knew about Sinai. They knew about the Red Sea. They heard these stories. And these friends of theirs, he destroyed them. I saved you from these people. And this is the thanks I get. This is the thanks I get for everything I've done to you. You turn your back on me and you go do this ungodly stuff. And you know I don't like it. Does that sound like mom and dad talking to children? Did they honor God by being friends with the Amorites, the Hittites, all these other whatever? Were they honoring God by being friends with the Philistines and all the other ungodly people on the world who are not the covenant people of God, who are not your brethren? And you want to be popular, and you want to go be around these people, and you're going to quit serving me and go and be friends with these people? Don't call out to me. We're going to see that. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Book of Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words to you. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught at my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me, but they shall not find me. Why? For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear, respect, love of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, be filled with their own devices. For their turning away, the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall be destroyed them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Be nice to God. If you ain't got time to go to church anymore, don't go. Don't go. If church is boring to you, don't go. If you don't have time to read the Bible, don't read it. Don't read it. Okay? If you don't have time to listen to sermon tapes and try to learn and grow in God's knowledge, then don't do it. Go play your games. Go hang out with your friend. Do all these other things. But at least have the decency. Quit praying. Don't pray no more. We just read it. You ain't got time for me. You ain't got time to go to church. You ain't got time to read my word. You ain't got time to grow. My knowledge means nothing to you. Okay, simple. Okay, we don't eat. Okay, we don't do Christmas. We don't do the Easter. We don't eat pork. Got it. I'm done. See, our bodies can get a thing in an organ called cancer. And every physical, if an organ, even in the medical world or the natural way, if you find this cancer early enough and detect it, you can cure it, no problem. But if that cancer grows and it attacks an organ, and that organ gets full of cancer, eventually there's nothing we can do. Sometimes they try to cut it out, but the cancer will grow. In my opinion, your spirit has a cancer. It's called complacency. You get comfortable where you're at, and you ain't got time for God no more because all this stuff is boring to you, your spirit will get cancer, and that cancer will grow, and eventually it will kill you because of complacency. Well, I ain't got time. I don't have time. I'm busy with this. I don't like this. I don't like that. And make your grocery list out of excuses why you don't care about God's word no more. But then when problems arrive, would you want a friend like that? Hey, Brian, hey, I bought a new house. I need you to help me move. Could you come help me this Saturday? Yeah, sure, I'll be right over. Help them move all day. 2 weeks later, they have a big opening, welcoming party. I wasn't invited. They get together with all their friends. I wasn't invited. 6 months later, hey, Brian, can you help me? Hey, my car broke down. Can you come give me a ride? Yeah, sure, I'll be happy. Hey, thanks, but You only go to church twice a year, Christmas, Easter, Passover, Tabernacles. Would you treat God the way, if someone treated you that way and you treat God that way, how do you think he feels? Do you want a friend who only wants, I need you to help me. Other than that, stay away. I don't need you. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. But when I need you, I need you. How would you feel? If a friend treated you that way, is that a friend? Let's don't do it to our God. Let's just, you know, some people brag, oh, I'm a CEO Christian, Christmas and Easter only. And they pick two of the worst times that you could go, something that he hates. Now, we have that knowledge. Does that mean anything to you? Well, but you see, Brian, I can't take it away from my kids because what will the neighbors think? What will grandma and grandpa think? Worldly, 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 worldly. I've had people tell me that. Okay, I see this, Brian, but I can't take Christmas from my kids. Besides, my wife will never go for it. And they're scared to death because they're in this world. They ain't no different than when Samson was with the Philistines. Again, your best friend. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Or stay in the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 26. I'm sorry, 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now that's powerful. Your best friend needs to be a covenant believer. The wounds of a friend. Abraham was called a friend of God. A lot of great men in the Bible were called a friend of God. I'd like to think that your pastor is your friend. But listen. Listen, listen, listen. You are not accountable to your pastor. A pastor's job, in my opinion, is to prepare you for the one you will stand and give an account to. Here's what our Father, here's what Jesus, this is how they feel about this topic. And it's our job to try and show you, because you're going to stand, nobody's going to stand before the judgment seat of Brian. I'm nobody. A pastor's duty is to prepare you to stand before that. We were all standing before 2 Corinthians, I think. We were all standing before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a pastor's job to prepare you for the one you will give accountable to. And he's your friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Listen, I've sat in Covenant Church congregations for 31 years, and I heard some stuff in the pulpit that hurt. But I've learned something. I've been doing this for, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years. Listen, loved ones, please, please, please hear this. It's just as hard to say as it is to hear. Really. But the kisses of an enemy are the, oh, it's okay. Hey, let's go. You're all right. Somebody who is not truthful with you is not your friend. I'm going to be blunt honest with you. Every time I come down here and give a sermon, my best friend, my wife Susan, it happens every single time. When we're done and we go get in our car to go, she gives me my report card. How'd it go? And I need her to tell me what I need to know to get better at this. Because you guys are too nice. And I mean that with all the love in my heart. You can't hit a home run every time. I know that. I remember one time I'd done this a few times, and she asked me, she said, of all the sermons you've given, honey, which one do you think was your best? And I said, I hope it's the next one. I'm growing with you guys. When we first met, when we were introduced, I met her on a blind date, and her brother and her dad fixed us up. And her brother Mark said, now you'll have to do all the talk, and Brian doesn't say too much. And the next day he goes, what do you mean? God, he didn't stop talking all night. I haven't stopped talking since I met this beautiful lady. You know I talk too much. But the wounds of a friend, your pastor has to be your friend. And it's not easy to say, but we have to do it. We have to, because God will heal your wounds. I've said this before. I remember Pastor Don came up to my at Pastor Jerry's one time, and there was a speaker before him. And then when Don got it, the first thing he said is, "Hey, you stepped on my toes. Thank you. I needed that." I don't know what his message was, but here's a pastor who I had a lot of admiration for said, "You know what? You stepped on my toes today. I thank you." That's what I'm talking about. I want this to be inspirational. There's nothing more valuable. This world is going to die. All the garbage you have, your car, your house, everything in this is temporary. Everything. They could close my plant tomorrow. We could lose our house. I could lose all. So what? Will it be hard? Yes. When I hurt my shoulder, I was off work 5 months. We got through it. Wasn't easy, but we got through it. Now we're back in the saddle again. But we all go through it. It was our turn. But your prayers, that lifeline we have with you guys, it helped. It really, really did. It really meant a lot to us. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Very quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just four simple words. Chapter 5, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. How do you do that? Don't feed it. Don't feed it. Don't go to church. Well, I don't have time. Don't read it. I don't have time. Don't listen to it. I don't have time. That's how you quench it. And trust me, it will die. Because it'll die because you get to a point you won't even miss church. You won't miss reading the Bible. You won't want to hear sermons anymore. Now, here's another part of that I believe very strongly. Quench not the Spirit. This is an example in my simple mind. This is not true. Last time we were here, me and Jim got in a big argument. Big argument. I don't even remember what it was about. And something in my spirit said, "Brian, go apologize to Jim." No. "Brian, go apologize to Jim." No. "Brian, go apologize to Jim, please." No. Do you know what pretty soon, weeks, months go by, "Brian, go apologize to Jim, please." No. That's how it works. Now, that's silly, but that's how it's gradual. You feed yourself, you grow, and you gradually fall from God. This altar call nonsense. "Well, I got saved," they give it. Big deal. That's the start. "What have you done since then?" "Well, I'm saved. I don't have to do nothing. They told me I'm going to heaven." I'm going to tell you something I heard a long time ago, off the top of my head. This guy claimed that he was taken in the spirit to hell, lake of fire, torment, yelling and screaming. And the spirit was there, and he took Fred, and he said, "Look at that guy." And here was a guy who went around, and here are these people screaming and everything. And he reached over, and he grabbed one of them, and he drug him up and looked right in his eyes, threw him down, grabbed the next one. Grab the next one, and on and on and on. And this happened for 10, 15, he must have picked up 40, 50 people. Finally, he came close to the man and the spirit. And he said, "Sir, I don't mean to, what are you doing?" And he looked at him with anger in his eye. He said, "I'm looking for the pastor who told me I was going to heaven, because I know he's here. And when I find him, because I know he's here." Now that, ooh. I'm trying to find the pastor who told me I was going to heaven because I know he's here, because I'm here. Now, I heard that in Sunday school. Now, that's an attention getter. That's an attention getter. To show something, go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. But don't quench. When you feel moved to do something, like that argument me and Jim got into, it's probably over. Who knows what? But I quenched it. Now, I'm not going to go talk to him. Don't do that. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That they might be saved. Well, they might be, they might not be. Why? For I bear them record that they had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Here's the problem. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Ignorance means you don't know. Okay, I think God's mercy covers the ignorance I had when I was a Lutheran churchgoer. I think he had the ignorance I had when I didn't go to, I was glad when I was 12 when we quit going to church. It was the worst 2 hours of the week. I was glad when I could go play golf Sunday morning instead of going to church when I was out single and I played with my uncle A.D., Mike, and Tommy. I was glad we play at a tea time at 7, between 7 and 8 Sunday morning. It was so much more fun than going to church. Oh, gee, who wants to do that? But then something happened. Now, you got two choices in this reading. There's the knowledge of God or the arrogance you have in your own self-righteousness. If you don't submit to God, what's going to happen? Okay, he knows you don't know, but when you do know, now you're accountable. And I just wonder, just me because I'm this way, the book of Romans was written after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. Why is Paul saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel? Why not pray for the whole world? Doesn't he care about everybody else? Why didn't he pray for them? See, I never read this verse before. Oh, they love God, but they don't love his knowledge. They rejected his knowledge. They refused to grow. I'm not changing. No, not me. Hey, I don't need to do that. I'm not going to change. Stay. Go now with me now. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 17. I'll show you what it's happened before. Acts chapter 17. And beginning in verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So he went to church for 3 weeks, and he tried to reason with some people out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs be suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach to you is Christ. Now, my name is Brian Jones. Okay. Jesus, it's not, his last name isn't Christ. It's not Jesus Christ. He's the Christ. This guy, for whatever reason, Joseph and Mary named him Jesus. You know, but he was the Christ. This Jesus who died, buried, rose, ascended. That was the Savior. That's the Redeemer. That's a title. He was the Christ. So it should be, it's not his first name Jesus, last name Christ. It's Jesus the Christ. And verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Here it comes. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered the company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers into the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down now are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying, that there is another king, one Jesus. Well, we can't have that. Brian, we ought to obey God more, and we ought to obey man more than, no. Did the three men in the fiery furnace do that? Did they bow down when they heard the trumpet, cornet, whatever? They didn't do what everybody else did. Something's going on here. Wait, Jesus is king. No, we can't have that. And they found troublemakers. Watch what happens. Now, this is what will bless you. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. This is what I'm getting to. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with a readiness of mind, here it comes, and searched the scriptures Sunday. No, daily. Searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. They searched the scriptures daily. They didn't just go to church on Sunday and listen to Paul. He went there three times. What did they do? He inspired them to read the Bible. What he told them inspired them. I'm going to give God my time this week. I'm not watching SportsCenter. I'm not watching this. I'm not going to spend 8 hours on Facebook. I'm going to read the Bible every single day. And if he went there 3 weeks, 21, they spent 21 days in a row reading the Bible because they cared about what Paul told them. It inspired them. They read it daily. But what happened? Well, what happens is what happens a lot. Let's go back a little bit. Go back to Acts chapter 13. And let show you a problem that we have today. And this is kind of the same story. This is the same thing, but a different story. Chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Oh boy. But seeing you put it from you and judging yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Now I'm going to give you, we all know who the Gentiles are. They're the 10 northern tribes. They're another word for nation. Abraham was a father of many nations. Abraham was a father of many Gentiles. These are the 10 northern tribes that God divorced, and that's who they're supposed to go to. Now, that knowledge, what's that worth to you? Well, you see, Brian, every person on the planet is either a Jew or a Gentile. Every human being, red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in his sight. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. That's a lie. That's a lie. The black kids in Africa and Haiti are not Gentiles. We are not to go to them with this word. They went to the brethren, and the brethren put it away from them, and they judged themselves not worthy. Verse 46, for so hath the Lord commanded, verse 46, so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, the nations, the dispersed, the 10 northern tribes that are scattered, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles, the 10 northern tribes and nations heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Here it comes. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up who? The devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. These are mayors, governors, and unfortunately the women congressmen. We're going to stir things up. We're going to take the leaders. You know, you got, you know, Paul and Barnabas. Who are these guys? They walk around in sandals. They ain't nobody. Let's get the mayor. Let's get the governor. Let's get the chief of police. Let's get the honorable. Let's get the Catholic bishop. Let's get all these other ungodly men, and let's stir them up. And what happened? And the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled him out of their coast. They stirred things up. Hey, these guys were making progress. And, oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. But what'd they do? 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. This hasn't changed. This hasn't changed. You're going to maybe have a chance to witness to somebody at work or somewhere, and you're going to make some progress. And when he goes home, this has happened to me. I had a guy on the IP line. He brought it up. We talked 5 hours. And this is the only time, I've been out there 20 years, this is the only time when the line, when the shift was over and everybody went home, he said, hey, I want to see those verses we talked about. And luckily I had a Bible in my drawer, and we stayed there 45 minutes after work, and I showed him verse after verse after verse of all the things that he asked me, not me, and I showed it to him. And the very next day, I said, I don't remember his name. Hey, Fred, how you doing? He said, well, hey, Brian, sorry, my wife said I can't talk to you no more. Because I went home and told her what you told me, and I showed her what you showed me, and she told me I'm not allowed to talk to you no more, so goodbye. Happens all the time. We all know men who go to church alone. Their wives won't go. Kids won't go. We know women who come to church because of husbands. Hey, I can't go to church at 11. The kickoff's at noon. What are you talking about? I can't go to church at 11. And I, you know, I can't go to church. And then they got their list. It happens all the time. But they were making progress. And who stirred things up? Our enemies. People who didn't have a zeal. And to show you how bad it can get, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. One simple verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's our biggest problem. They had it back then. Remember we read about all the people God destroyed? 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there are gods many and lords many. Hey, there's Catholic God, Baptist God, Lutheran God, this God, Muslim God, Hindu. There's a lot of gods out there. There's a lot of lords out there. Man, take your pick. You know, it doesn't matter what church you go to, as long as you go somewhere, as long as you walk away feeling good. If this church is feeding you what they want, hey, they got a great gymnasium, they got a great youth program, they got a softball team. This one has a driving range. Okay. That's it? Gymnasium? Popularity for your kids? My God, they have Super Bowl parties now at churches. Big screen. Well, we got to cash in. This is a big deal. And boy, I hate to bring this up, but a long time ago, the Denver Broncos played the Cleveland Browns, the drive and all that. And Denver's on the West Coast, and it was in Cleveland, and every church in the city of Denver canceled services so they could go watch the Broncos play football. And I'm not making this up. The broadcasters, they were laughed. They said, yeah, most churches in Denver canceled services today so their parishioners could go watch the game. Because Denver is in Denver and this is in Cleveland. And it was the first game of the day. My God, are you kidding me? A stupid, idiotic. That's what meant more to you that day? Now, maybe there were some people who were angry over that. I hope so. But there are God's many. And then I'm going to read verse 6. This is for us. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus the Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There's only one God for us, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man, one way, one, just one road. You all remember that idiot? Oh, gosh, what's that guy on the TV? Had the big thing in D.C. He's a talk show guy, and he had every leader of every single religion. He said, all, gosh, I can't, I'm getting a, but he had this big thing in Washington, D.C., and he invited every leader of every faith you can think of, and he made the comment, well, all roads lead to God. Pick out whichever one you want. When Trump was elected, did you guys see who all the assembly line of church leaders that supposedly prayed? My God, one was an Indian who did a tribal dance, for God's sake. But he covered his base, and I'm sure there were some women, black women, green, purple, brown. They had he covered his bases. Nonsense. That's disgusting. Well, for there are gods many and lords many, not for us. If you believe that, you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I brag all the time. When we leave Fort Wayne to come to Florence, I drive by 1,000 churches to be here. And I'm proud of that. Past 1,000 of them. Ain't got nothing for me. Now, I'm not being judgmental, please, please. But listen, walk the walk. Let's go now to show you. Go to book of Luke, chapter 13. Very familiar story, but I think it's important. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 23. Then said one of them, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and have shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Now they call him Lord. These are church people. Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer unto you, I know not from whence you are. And they shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, which is communion. We have taught in our streets, but I will say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Who are these? Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Jesus says, I don't know you. Who are these people Jesus doesn't know? I thought he knows everybody. I don't know you. But Lord, Lord, we drank, we took communion at church. We testified. We did things in your name. Hey, you saw my button. Jesus is the reason for the season. We kept Christ in Christmas. Hey, I know maybe it was a heathen pagan thing, but every Easter when we colored our eggs, we put a cross on every one of them. And we made sure our kids knew that, hey, this is Easter egg thing, yeah, but and we put a cross on every egg. And hey, I was proud that my daughter married this black man because he went to church every Sunday and he was a Christian man. Thank God she didn't marry this guy over here who doesn't even care. I'd rather she marry a Christian. Answers in Genesis. Remember the four pictures? There you are. And we did all these to honor you, God. He says, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me. Well, here's a clue, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourself thrust out. What's the big deal with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well, that's Old Testament stuff, Brian. And that happened a long time ago. God changed. And he changed because Jesus came and changed everything. See, there was this war between Christ and God the Father and God the Son. They didn't like each other. The God of the Old Testament was mean. He killed people. There was a conference of pastors, I heard Jerry Wickey tell me in New York. I forget where they met at. And they came to the conclusion that God was wrong for doing what he did with Noah's flood. They said our Jesus would have never done that. He would have saved them. Not that mean old God. Thank God our Jesus isn't like his dad. These are pastors. Pastor conference. Well, God was wrong when he did this. He shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done that. Why? Because we took a vote and we decided. Woe unto the pastors who destroy and scatter the sheep of my flock. Who are the sheep? Who are the pastors? Who's the flock? Who are the only people in the Bible we ever referred to as sheep? And Jesus says, I don't know you. Well, but you know everybody. You died for everybody. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he did not. Well, that's my Jesus. Brian, you serve a different God than I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. My Jesus died for everybody. Mine didn't. Well, I'll never come to your church. Good. Good. Why would you? I've never come to yours. I wouldn't do that. Out of respect for you, there are God's many and Lord's many. Many to choose from. Many to choose from. Turn with me now to the book of John, chapter 5. Almost done. John chapter 5. And beginning in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. What's he saying? Go to any Christian church in Florence, Kentucky today and ask them, is there a story in the Bible about this guy named Adam and Eve? Yes. Did they fall? Yes. Did they need a savior? Yes. Was Jesus born of a virgin? Yes. Was he crucified and did he die? Yes. Did he raise from the dead? Yes. Did he ascend to heaven? Yes. Well, what's the problem? You can read, search the scriptures, for in them you think, and they are they which testify. Everybody knows the story of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Adam, Eve, Noah. But he's saying, you know my name, you know my story, but you don't know me. I knew all the stories, Daniel, three men. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal. Jesus is speaking. And you will not come to me that you might have life. That's because if you go to the wrong Jesus, you won't have eternal life. Everybody knows the stories. That's no big deal. For one cometh unto you preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached. You guys know where that's at. Everybody knows that popular verse. There are other God's many, Lord's many. Verse 40. But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another man shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receiveth honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is even one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my word? Moses was in the Old Testament. He wrote the first five books. Well, that's the old Bible, Brian. Wait, if you don't believe Moses, you won't believe me. If you don't care about the Old Testament, you won't care about me because they wrote about me. Moses wrote about me. Me and him, there's no disagreement. Isaiah, all the prophets of the Old Testament, you think the 12 disciples and the 12 and all the prophets of the old, that they are they arguing right now because you guys did this and you did this and all this kind of stuff? No. If you don't believe Moses, you won't believe me. Moses is in the Old Testament. Well, that's the old Bible. No. Every word, all scripture is given, Timothy, you must believe that. And you don't have, just because you know the story, you got to know the man. You have to understand who he is. And turn with me now to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Here's verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How true. There's a lot of pleasure in feeling and feeding your flesh. There's a lot of pleasure not giving God any time. There's a lot of pleasure feeding yourself. And then when you do find, when someone presents truth to you, you can accept it or reject it if you don't love truth. But unfortunately, there's too many people in this world, they don't love truth. They just love to be right all the time. How dare you talk to me? I was in church before you were born. How dare you talk to me like that, Brian? They don't love truth. You can show them a verse. Well, how dare you show that to me? That goes against, well, but I've heard it many, many times. They don't love truth. They just love to be right all the time. And that's a heart that God has to deal with. The Holy Spirit has to break that down because we can't do it. If they don't love truth, they will believe a lie. Hence the rapture and all the other nonsense that's unbiblical. Why? Because it sounds good. It's a bigger umbrella. Bigger church, more money, more people, blah, 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 on and on and on it goes. You got to love truth. You have to love truth. One couple more last readings. Go to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. And I'm going to finish with this. 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, and I want to read verse 9, but I want to read it a little bit differently than what it's written. And forgive me for this, but I want to make this real. I want to make this real. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son. Okay, I'm going to back up. And thou, David, my son. Laura, my daughter. Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. If, Laura, David, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. This was King David talking to his son Solomon. Okay, I'm doing the same thing now. If you search our God, the God of thy father, if you search him, you'll find him. But if you reject him, if you forsake him, if you don't give him any of your time, he will cast you thee off forever. And while you're there, one more reading. Go to chapter 29, last one. Here's what King, this is a, I want to throw this in last. Chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all their congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. I want to share one more little story with you that I heard when I was in Sunday school. And it got me and it gets me, and I hope I can get through it. I want you to visualize Judgment Day. Visualize a courthouse. All rise. Here comes God the Father, and he's on his throne. You can be seated. Trials in progress. Who's on trial today? Brian Jones. Stand up, Mr. Jones. Who accuses this man? Satan stands up. I do. Read me the charges. And from the time I was 20 until the time I died, Satan read every sin I ever committed. And he goes on hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, however long it takes. And he names every time I sinned in my life. And he goes on and on and on. Finally, he gets to the very last one. And he says, I rest my case, Judge. And God the Father says, Brian, do you have anything to say? I say, well, I have my lawyer here, and there's Jesus Christ. And he stands up and he says, Hey, Dad. Yes, son. Guess what? Brian's on the list. See this book? Look, his name's in it. Charges dismissed. Brian, welcome home. See how simple it is? I've sinned a lot, just like you, many, many times. My friends might throw it up at me from time to time. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I can't forgive myself. But trust me, folks, Christ died for us. That's going to happen. You will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're either going to hear two phrases, depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home, Brian. You made it. Why? Because I gave God my time. I didn't care when I was in my stupidity of youth. I didn't care. I didn't give him much time. But something happened to me 30-some years ago, and boy, it's been a blast. And I can't wait. I can't wait till next Sunday when I can go back to church and hear another message. And I hope I find time myself to spend time with him this week, because he gives me so much and he gives us everything. And all he wants is your time. Thank you, and may the God of our fathers bless each and every one of you.